Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Father, we thank you for your word. As we continue in the book of Romans, and we pray, as always, for more light and understanding. And for the listeners, that you might open our understanding also as we meditate on your word. And we thank you in advance for the edification that comes from the reading and believing of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're getting to the end of chapter 10. We're going to try to make it down there. Bear with me, my little sinus problem this morning. We're going down through the chapter, and we are finding out Paul is expressing to the believers there what happened to Israel. And the key we see is faith, is that they did not believe. They heard the message. The message was sent to them, and they were without excuse. The only reason that it was not profitable is that, as Hebrews says, the word was not mixed with faith among them that heard it. Verse 14, Paul says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear except, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, when Paul, he goes back and he says, as it is written, that's a proof positive for them. As one of my preacher friends would say, that's a case study for them. They can go back and see that that gospel had been preached. And what I like about the verses that Paul references, and we'll go back and look at those verses, obviously they were strategically picked by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at these six scripture references that Paul presents before them to prove that the word had been preached and that it was no excuse for them to make. As Gail would say, they had an excuse, but not a good reason. You know, they could not say that it was on God and he was faulty because he had not provided a message for them to believe. Notice in verse 14 or verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written. And that was a quote from Isaiah 52. So we're going to go back there and just look at these things quickly as we progress through the end of the chapter. Isaiah 52. And Isaiah was writing to the nation to show them at that time, prophesying to them that God's judgment was coming on them because of their unbelief. And Paul uses that scripture that's fitting just for them. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. We're going to start actually at verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the heathen. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Who did they sell themselves to? Or I would say, who were they sold under? And
the adversary.
Who did they need to be redeemed from?
The adversary.
Okay. It's sin. They were still a non-images, Blake. See, they were thinking of Roman oppression, but the real oppressor is on the inside. It was them. Thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt, and sojourned there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now, this points right to verse 13. We're going to skip that. The end result is this. The good tiding, the good news, the gospel, is for them to hear these tidings of salvation and for them, in verse 13, to behold my servant. It was pointing to Christ. The good news is that they would be redeemed, and that redeemer is the man that they were to behold. And he tells them in advance, this is what they would do. Verse 14, as many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now, you know what that's referring to, don't you? You do know what that's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is that referring to?
Right.
Anybody got to add to that?
The cross.
The cross. Thank you. It was the crucifixion. The visage being marred. His suffering for them. Verse back to Isaiah. We're going to go back to Isaiah 53, which is the next verse that Paul quotes. And I'm going to read in Romans since I have it here. In verse 16, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And that's back in Isaiah 53 also. The same Isaiah prophesying to the same nation about the same punishment that's coming and the same Redeemer that's to redeem them. Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our iniquities, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. I'm going to read this next one because it'll help us going forward. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now, there's no guess to that. That's definitely speaking about Christ. And Paul's quoting that in Romans, that that's part of the gospel. That's part of the report. He's talking to the Jews. And he says, you heard this. They heard this. They know who this is. They don't have to ask, like the eunuch asked, who is this man speaking of? Is it someone else or is it himself? See, they knew he had come and he had met these prophecies, fulfilled these prophecies. That's why Paul, when he starts off, he says, you don't have to ascend up to bring Christ down. You don't have to descend to bring him up again. This message has been recorded. Isn't that the commercial? This message has been previously recorded. That when Paul, a priest, he said, this has been previously recorded. And that's what he's presenting to them is this was written and you have fulfilled it. The gospel was preached. The good tidings were heard. 16, the gospel, the report was presented. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is, again, the bottom line is faith. So then, this is the conclusion. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If God never made it known, if the report hadn't been published, if the glad tidings hadn't been given, then they would have an excuse. But they did not have an excuse because God had made it known. And made it was so much known when the Lord was on earth, his reputation preceded him. Luke chapter 4 and verse 36. Luke 4, 36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and with power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Do you think they heard it?
Yes.
Even a little bit? You know, think about this, where the people say there's healing going on today. And you have to search high and low to find out where it was done. It's over somewhere in Russia or somewhere in some remote area of town where, you know, nobody can find the guy. Nobody can find the place. But here's the point here where the Lord's activity, everybody knew. And it wasn't limited to his town. As Paul said, this thing was not done in a corner. It spread abroad. They heard it. They knew it. They were without excuse. And Paul, he says, so then, First Romans back to 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes. Yes. Yes, verily. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And again, that's the, he references Psalm 19, the creation account. And from that creation account, well, Psalm 19, I'm just doing a quick revisit of this. We looked at it last week. The creation account was, that was to prove to a man, and I would let the verses speak on this. In Psalm 19, or the 19th Psalm, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Notice we use that, but we don't progress because he goes on in verse 7 to talk about the written law. The law of the Lord is perfect. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And yet we still don't proceed. Keep going down. And he says, moreover, verse 11, by them. By, take these two witnesses, the creation witness, the written witness, by them, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall every word be established. Moreover, by them is thy servant what? Warned. The gospel, the creation, the written law, it warned a man. You're reading it. We are reading it. It warned him. What does it warn him about?
There's a creator.
Moreover, by them, right, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Look at the last verse. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the creation witness, the written witness, it was to point a man to the fact that he needed the Lord to be his strength and his redeemer. And Paul, he uses it to show Israel, just like that account was sure, when the Lord came, that gospel, you should have known that he was your strength and your redeemer. But you put him away. As the pastor says, they would none of his reproof and none of his law. They at verse as 11:1, we'll see that they cast it away from them first, and God returned the favor. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not all heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Did Israel know? Yes, they knew. Now, again, where we just read a verse in Isaiah where it says, my people, the people that rule over them, make them to howl. It's the rulers. It's the rulers that created the issue. And when he says, did not Israel know? He's specifically talking about the leadership. Now, I think we mentioned this last week, is that when you're talking about a nation that was intended to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, the hierarchy was already set with the priests, the scribes, the Levites. The spiritual leadership was the go-between for the people. And he says, did they not hear? In verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Okay, that's Deuteronomy. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy 32 again.
Is the no nation, no people, and foolish nation just... is that one group, or is he referring to two groups?
Well, let's see what he's talking about here. 32, verse 32:20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now we know, again, this is Moses. Paul's using this verse to show that Israel put away God. They did not want his instruction. And notice in verse 20, he says, I will hide my face from them. That is in response to them not wanting his information, not wanting his instruction, not wanting his guidance, not wanting his law. To hide his face means they would not receive any instruction from him, because they had moved him to jealousy with that which is not God. You know, so in the previous verses, he said, their rock is not our rock. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now, the answer to Karen asked that question is verse, let's see, drop down to verse 27. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest the adversary should behave himself strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And this is Moses saying, I wish they knew what my plan was for them, the latter end. The foolish nation, that's the same one that's prophesied in Luke. Now, again, this is setting us up for the remnant principle that's coming up. Where we came through, where it's not all Israel is Israel. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And Romans. That he is not a Jew. That's one outwardly. This is from the very beginning. He's showing that there's always the remnant of people, and that remnant is the true and faithful believers, those that believe. Now, Luke 12, verse, we can quote this verse. Luke 12 in verse 30. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Key verse there. Seek ye the kingdom of God. You know, normally we just jump down and read the last verses. But the key is for them doing the seeking, the wanting, the searching. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When he talks about the little flock, there's other terms that he uses for these people. Keep Romans, if you still have it. Look back at Isaiah chapter 7 in verse 10. Start at verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. That sounds familiar? The depth and the height. He's telling Ahaz, ask me for some information that's going to help you. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? How do they weary him? Lack of faith. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You want a verse? You want one more verse? He said, I'll give you another verse. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. And that he talks about that prophecy. But look over at chapter 8. This is the, again, the punishment that's coming in verse 8:14. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Who do you think that's prophesying about?
Israel's leadership.
The leadership. But verse 16 says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among the foolish nation. That's the foolish nation right there. That's the little flock. Those are the children that he talks about in verse 18. He says, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. That is to provoke the leadership to jealousy. You remember the couple of weeks ago where we talked about Ed Gamaliel, where he says, be careful about what you do to these men. Because, yes. I'm paraphrasing this, like you might find yourself fighting against God.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what they were doing? They were fighting against God. The same thing that Paul said, you know, when he told Paul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just saying this because, you know, the pricks that he were kicking against, it was those people. He can't win. And he says, Lord, who art thou? And he wanted to know, how am I persecuting you? And he said, listen, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me.
So he was fighting God without realizing it too, wasn't he?
He was fighting him without realizing him, without realizing it, right. And he was, like I said, hailing them and casting them into prison, persecuting them under strange cities, and not knowing this is a fight that he can't go the distance.
Right.
He's not going to make it to the end of this fight. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me. You notice at the end of Christ's ministry, he says, I have kept all that thou hast given me, except one.
Yeah, Judas.
This is in Isaiah, we read, who shall declare his generation? It's the remnant. That's the remnant principle that Paul has been explaining in 9, 10, 11, verse 18 again. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And that's what they did. When he sent them out to those cities, and they came back and they says, wow, even the spirits are subject to us. He had bound up the testimony in them when he turned from disciples to apostles, and then that little group began to grow and to grow. Guess who's not in the children? Guess who's not in the little flock? Guess who's not in the disciples? Guess who's not in the foolish nation? You. Gentiles.
Huh. Okay.
That's right. But guess what? Look back at Romans again. But Paul, when Paul's using this, guess who he's talking to?
Gentiles.
Guess who's included in this? Gentiles. Notice he said, but I say, verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. He didn't have you in mind. But you find in Paul, and we write to the Romans, he's saying that right now, you Gentiles and you believing Jews are provoking the nation to jealousy. He has, we're just going to skip to, I'm going to skip down to this, but we're going to come back to this, obviously. verse 11 or chapter 11, verse 25. I can't believe it. I can't find the verse. 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And what is, when he says to not be ignorant of this mystery, where what I, the verse I want is that he has chosen them to provoke them unto jealousy.
Verse 11.
11:11. Thank you. David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. We just read that in Isaiah. Oh, verse 10, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the foolish nation. Salvation is come unto the little flock. Salvation is coming to the children. You say, don't say that. No, it doesn't. But Paul is putting us in there with them. That's why.
Right.
That's why.
You can,
go ahead.
Because there's no difference now, right? So between Jew and Gentile in the body,
that's
we're
right.
All the same.
That's right.
So you could read that, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the no people to provoke them to jealousy.
But no people to them, right? See, it's,
yeah.
The no people to them has always been God's people. See, that's the key is this. The just because, and that goes back to the beginning, just because you're of the nation, just because you were circumcised doesn't mean that you're automatically in. Or modern day thinking is this. Just because you go to church on Sunday doesn't mean you're saved.
Right.
You know, it doesn't. Okay, he never missed a Sunday. So what? That doesn't mean he believes. And guess who knows that? God knows the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. But what I want you to just keep that in mind, because it is Paul's using those verses that were written, prophesied about not you, about them. And he is grouping us together with them. That's why he says you are grafted in among them. Now, verse back to 19 or 20, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Again, Isaiah 65, and we're going to finish these two last Isaiahs out and proceed. Isaiah 65, and you could just tell by the prophecies that Isaiah does not have you in mind. Isaiah 65, verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. That's what Paul is quoting in 11:20 or 10:20. But Isaiah is very bold. Now, the nation, the leadership, they should have been not only waiting for him, but looking for him. Now, hold your hand there. I'm just going to look at Luke chapter 2. Hold your hand in Isaiah and in Romans 10. And look at Luke chapter 2. Start at verse 25. It's a lot of verses here, but. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for what?
Consolation.
Who do you think that is?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's consolation. You just said it was Christ, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm just saying what you said. He just, that's the Lord's Christ is the consolation of Israel. He's the hope of Israel. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary and his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And that's what he's coming to do. Is he's revealing the thoughts of many. He said, what do you mean? Here's one man who had the right thought, the right heart. He's been waiting. He's been looking, anticipating this day, and he saw it. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You see that, all them? That's the people that should have been looking. The people that should have been looking for him was the leadership.
Right, but wouldn't you say, Frank, that to the leadership, these people were nothing?
They were, exactly. That's why he said it, right. Exactly. That's why he could say in Isaiah that I'm found of them that sought me not. It's kind of like a oxymoron. Even though those people were looking, the Lord is saying, you know what, that's the people that I want to look for me, they're not looking.
Right.
The priests. The scribes, the ones, you know what, in John, it's the ones in John, Jenny, that he said, you are gods. Remember that? He said, you are gods because the word of God came to you. You were entrusted with it. You were safe keepers of it. You were in Romans 9, he's in 2. That you were a guide of the blind, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, that has a form of knowledge in the truth, in the law. He said, you're the ones that should have been looking for me. When the wise men came, and they said, we're looking for him who's born King of the Jews. And they went right to the scribes, and they said, where is he? And they said, let's see, Bethlehem, right here, verses right here. Bethlehem, that's where they said he should be. Now, why weren't they looking?
Because they were minding their own religion.
They were minding their own religion. Why did it take an out-of-towner, Gentile out-of-towner, to come and show you your Messiah?
Rod.
They weren't looking.
They were in charge.
Yep.
That's why when Herod heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Troubled? Why? This is their salvation. This is their redemption. This is the consolation.
Going to upset their apple cart.
Back to Romans again. Now, so you see this lack of faith runs deep, Sharon. It is Excuse me. Thank you. This lack of faith runs deep. And they, God is showing them that you are without excuse. You know, there's a lot written today. Everything's written today. When I say there's a lot written, we have the complete word of God. We have scripture recorded for us. When we talk to a person now and we give them verses and chapters and passages to consider, they are without excuse. You can't say to me, and I can't say to you, that I'm a believer, sincere, and when you give me a verse, I dismiss you. We should be as the Bereans, who said they were more noble than those of Thessalonica. How's that? In that first they received the word with a readiness of mind.
And then
prayed and said, I'll get back to you. And then what?
Check it out.
They searched the scriptures when they had time.
Daily.
They searched the scriptures daily to see if what you said was right. And therefore, you see that? Somebody left off on the Berean, didn't they? And therefore, many of them believed. You see, you know why we don't believe what's been presented? Yeah, we never checked it out.
Right.
And vice versa. If you presented something to somebody who doesn't believe, you know why they don't believe? They didn't check it out. Because faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. You know what? That just don't feel right in my spirit. Really? Really? That's what we're going off of? You're feeling like the pastor say, could have been gas. you could have had a bad pizza. Right. You know, if I eat late, I get acid reflux. That might be if you rely on a feeling,
that could be a sign.
Right. Not what you're thinking of. But he says, I was found of them that sought me not. In verse 21, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. That's the little flock. Now, what Paul does is he's applying those scriptures to Gentiles. Because what the age of grace does is groups that little remnant. We are grouped in with them, Gentiles. And it's as it seems that little nation, that little foolish nation, that jealousy has expanded now to the Gentiles. Now, who knew that?
At what point?
Who other than Paul knew that the Gentiles would be grouped in with those believers?
The Lord.
With that remnant. Now, watch this. 21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And that's the last one, Isaiah 65 again, verse 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Now, he's talking about the leadership. Now, notice this in verse 8. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. You know what he's introducing now? The same thing Paul is expounding on in Romans is the remnant principle. He says, I'm doing this for my servant's sake, that I won't destroy them all. Doing what? Verse 9, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob. You know who that is? The foolish nation, the little children, wow, the disciples. He says, out and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. Fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. It's the faithful remnant that Paul is speaking of in Romans. But what he does is, when he finishes that out, it's proof to the leadership that they heard it, and they did not respond favorably as a whole. But it wasn't God's fault, which is, you know, thank God that he doesn't make people believe. You know, we were talking yesterday, my wife and I, and I don't think she would mind me saying this. She said, you know, for a man of God, she said, you really got some issues. I'm paraphrasing what she said. And, yeah, it wasn't funny to me, so don't laugh like that.
Well, it could have been a surprise.
Yeah, so, and then I said, you know, I received that. I said, yeah, I said, I do. And what we were talking about was hoarders, where I said people have issues, mental issues that they don't realize, you know, why they hoard stuff like that. So anyway, but that was led to another conversation. But I said, I received that. You know, there's a lot of things wrong with me. And, but as the king, you know, you still David, you still have, you know, your place with God, and imputation is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And, well, I will say, you know what, it takes a little transformation from to take a Michael to an Abigail also. So, Salah, I'll let you check that one out. And, but anyway, it was, the reason I said that was because by faith, we grow. We grow in the Lord by faith, by taking that word and allowing it to transform us into the image of his son. And the moment you stop believing it and taking it in, it doesn't matter how powerful it is. A can of spinach is no good until you open it. Popeye. So that's it does no good until you eat it, believe it, and eat it. And it works effectually in you. The power, you know, as Pastor Smith was saying this morning, that somebody was saying that they were talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is not going to make you do anything. You say, what? Listen, how many saints have the Holy Spirit?
All of them.
Okay. How many live transformed lives?
None of them.
Well, it's the Holy Spirit's fault.
No.
Sure it is. It's not working. He must be ineffectual.
It's all voluntary.
You know how? Because that's when the moment you say, I would, none of his reproof, guess what? You just unplugged it. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm getting a little sidetracked.
Scripture works effectually in them that believe.
I said you got to get over yourself.
That's a big hump to get over. We do. We do. We're striving for that, aren't we? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. That's 118. You know, when he was writing, Paul's writing, and he says in verse 13, he says that the moment we believe, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. You know, I've done a lot, do a lot, and will do a lot wrong. But
nobody's disagreeing.
That seal, I had to look over to my right to somebody saying amen. That's but
less than ever.
But I'm sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Not by, I'm sealed with him. He is the seal. He's the earnest of our inheritance. Whether you like it or not, I belong to him. Now, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who read?
Who believe
according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. The same power that raised Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places is the same power that's residing in you, in all believers. And when you say, I can't do that, really what you're saying is, I don't want to do that. Today or tomorrow, you're saying, if Paul says in Romans 6, let not sin reign in your mortal body, do you think he missed something that you couldn't help it?
No, he's implying we have a choice.
He said, let not sin therefore reign in your members. And then he talks about, you notice that this power that resides in us for us to be able to be transformed, to put off this and to put on that. Now, Romans, I can see y'all get back to the doctrine. I see y'all don't like that practical too much. So we're going to get back over here.
No, I mean, he's there for our calling, right? And if we don't call on him, if we decide to do it our own way, then we're not using his power. We've just gone to the back to the powerless position.
That's right. And you don't have to do that.
No.
He's already delivered us from that bondage of the old man, from that dominion of the old man. So, verse 21, but to Israel, he said, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Again, that was for the nation to consider this. And we are now in a position, Gentiles, where we can serve God. As we're progressing, we'll see the privilege and the position that we have, as being a unprophesied, and I will say special remnant of God, people. And Paul said this, and just to transition into 11, I say then, Paul says, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said to them, if he didn't cast away his people, look at me. And this is a great leeway or extension in to the individual Jew to show them that you can still get in. And that's what the age of grace does. It extends that offer to the individual Jew. He becomes a part of this new thing. And Paul, who better? And we're going to find out next week. Excuse me. Who better than Paul to show the grace of God that's being extended to Jew and Gentile? And when you see, when he makes this statement in chapter 11:1, that I'm an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, he has weight behind it. He has a great argument for grace. Last verse, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And that's how Paul, he's going to explain in verse 11 that God hadn't cast away his people. His long suffering is long. His grace is great. And they can be a partaker now. And just as his grace is and long suffering is great, his fidelity to his word is even greater. And then he'll go on to show that and all Israel shall be saved because he said they would. So we're going to stop at verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 1, and pick up there next time and go on into chapter 11. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reading and believing of these things. And again, we thank you in advance for the work of the Holy Spirit as the edification process is taking place in us through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.